We're in Proverbs chapter 17, and we're in verse 8. These are tremendous principles. I forgot to announce the fact that young people can go to their Sunday school classes if they so desire. Proverbs 17, some very practical applications in the Word. This is really practical living. In Proverbs 17, we're in verse 8. I'll read just a few verses. And some of the English is not as correctly translated as is written. And so we'll try to make the corrections where they're important. Verse 8, it says, "A gift is as a precious stone in the eyes of him that hath it. Whithersoever it turneth, it prospereth. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. A reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes unto a fool. An evil man seeketh only rebellion, therefore a cruel messenger shall be sent against him." That's an interesting passage. It's talking about an angel. Verse 12 is unbelievable. "Let a bear robbed of her whelps meet a man, rather than a fool in his folly." That's a big bear, you know, a grizzly, and it's a female in the species. And if one of her cubs is lost, you know, then she becomes like a roaring lion, and anything in her way, why, she'll tear it up. It's a natural principle in life. But this verse says there's something worse than that. I don't know what it is, but it says, "rather than a fool in his folly." And whether you know it or not, that's a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, not interested in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's worse. Oh. Verse 13, "Whoso rewardeth evil for good, evil shall not depart from his house." That's interesting. The next one, I defy anybody to translate this one for me and give me an application. "The beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water." And I'm going to stop there. Now, you tell me what that means, to let out water. Well, I'm not even going to get into it yet. But that's interesting also. We're in verse 8. "A gift is as a precious stone in the eyes of him that hath it. Whithersoever it turneth, it prospereth." We've taken up the first half of the verse, telling us that we have many gifts from God. He has given us the gift of eternal life, which is at our disposal simply by accepting Christ as our personal Savior. He has given us the gift, and it's marriage. Marriage is a gift, 1 Peter 3. That's another one of God's gifts to the human race. Another interesting gift is the gift of His Word. In Proverbs, it's emphasizing the importance of the Word of God to the believers. So, in context, this gift is talking about His Word. And I want you to notice that right in the middle of the verse it says, "Wherever it turneth, it prospereth." The word "it" refers to the gift, and the gift is God's Word here. Not that it's not true of marriage and or salvation, but context is talking about the Word. So whichever way the Word turns, it prospers. Wherever it turns means wherever it goes. Wherever the Word of God goes, it prospers. Because the Word is that which gives you the capacity for life and love. The Word makes a very relaxed person of you on the inside. Proverbs 23, which we'll study, says that as a man thinketh in his mind, so is he. Whatever goes on in your mind determines whether you have a moment-by-moment Merry Christmas or not. So, wherever the Word goes, the Word prospers. I want you to notice the general thrust of the book of Proverbs. When the Word of God exists in the mind of the believer, then there are no details. And If you don't have any details, then the word will still prosper because it causes you inner happiness and occupation with the person of Christ. And that can never be erased because the word lives and abides forever. So naturally, if the word lives and abides forever and you transfer it from the page into your very soul, well, it lives and abides forever in you also. So it can't be erased and it can't be destroyed. In 1 John, it says the world is passing away in a transient state right now. The world system is passing away. But the Word of God lives and abides forever. It says the flower of the field fadeth, but the Word abides forever. You can enjoy gifts. You can enjoy materialistic things simply because you have a capacity that you have received from the Word. If you are disappointed over something you didn't get that you expected to get, then you have no capacity or appreciation and you never will. Because your capacity has to be directed in a relationship towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is one thing to love one another, and there's another thing to be in love with love. People are not generally born with the capacity to love. Some people are more romantic than others. Some are smarter than others. Some are more successful. Some are better looking than others. But none of these things actually give you the capacity for love or life. It has to do with the Word of God in your mind. That's what this passage is talking about. The more the Word you have, the greater your capacity for life and love. The less of the Word you have, the less of a lover you really are. So the question really comes up, if you're a woman or a man, do you want to be a great lover? Well, yes, everybody does. Who doesn't? Well, here it is. And here's the principle, and it's brought out in 1 John 4:10. Herein is love, the passage says, 1 John 4:10. Herein is love. This is love. That we love God? No. But that He loved us and gave Himself for us. So this verse says, wherever the Word goes, it prospers. The word turn here means to go. Where the Word God goes, the Word prospers. You can take it with you. And that's the only thing that you can take with you. When a person dies, you read about all the time in the paper, what do they leave? Well, I remember up north one time, a gentleman from Maryland by the name of Mr. DuPont left. And the question was in the paper, what did Mr. DuPont leave? I remember this one kid at the time said to me, he left it all. And that's true. What did Mr. Hughes leave when he died? Well, he left it all. Here's the point. When a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ dies, what do we leave? You see, we leave all the details behind. But we take the Word of God with us. The Word of God liveth and abideth forever. Wherever the Word goes, it prospers. Wherever you go as a Christian, that Word inside of you will prosper. Every relationship of life. Now your testimony is over. And the Lord takes you home. The Word goes with you. The Word lives and abides forever. Everything else stays. The tribulation following the church age is a period of time in history which is to come. It will be the worst time in all of human history. There will be the absence of details in the 7 years of Jacob's tribulation. There will be privation. There will be pressure. There will be persecution. And yet the only thing that sustains during the 7 years of Jacob's trouble, the tribulation, is the Word of God. The millennial reign of Christ is 1,000 years of perfect environment, peace and plenty. And the only thing that will sustain there is the Word of God. Whether it's privation or prosperity, the only thing that prospers is the Word of God. So, if you think about a holiday, Christmas in particular, you can take the Word of God with you. whatever emphasis you place at Christmas time on the incarnation of the Jesus Christ, when you're with your family, when you're around a tree, when there's tinsel involved, when there's eggnog, when there are shrieks of joy, the noises that some families make when they get together, the moans of frustration, and what did you get for Christmas syndrome? A Santa Claus, and he stuck in the chimney, and then one Santa Claus got drunk and ended up in some Skid Row tavern, you know. Whatever you have to do, for example, at a time when you're looking for something pleasant like Christmas, if you have the Word of God in you, you have the capacity to give of yourself just as the Lord has given of Himself. Now, we do not have the Lord's capacity, for the Lord has given of Himself to each one of us, and so to millions of other believers like us. And He never runs out of His capacity to give because of His perfect and wonderful character. And He gives of Himself constantly to us. And while we do not have this capacity, God in His grace made it possible for us to approximate His capacity through the Word of God on a human plane. So that wherever the Word of God goes, the Word prospers. The Word, for example, could go to some area like Vietnam and prosper. It could go to Podunk and prosper. You know what? The Word of God can even prosper you in Houston. That's something interesting, because people leave Houston because they feel that other places are better. You can even go to the moon and prosper, and that's hard to do. Where the Word of God is, there is the capacity. And there is the capacity to appreciate the Lord and the capacity to love and appreciate people. It's all wrapped up in this particular principle. And the Word of God orients us to every circumstance of life. Now, verse 9 here gives us a result of the Word prospering you. In verse 9, we have the importance of love and harmony among believers. In verse 8, you have the principle that wherever the Word goes, it prospers. Now, in verse 9, we have one of the applications between ourselves, how it works. And here it is in verse 9. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. Now, this is what they call, in Hebrew poetry, an antithetical distich. The first line gives you the principle, and the second line gives you the antithesis. First line, he that covereth a transgression seeketh love. That's the first verse of poetry. But he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. That's the second line. Now, this is not correctly translated, not accurately translated. We have a verb here in an intensive stem, and the verb that we're going to take up is the word covereth. And this word is a very interesting word, and it looks like this. If I can get the pencil off. Ka-sa. That's all the word is for the word that you have, covereth. Now, this word doesn't mean to cover, like it would place something over something. That's what the word cover means to us. But it's a little stronger than that. See, it's intensive, which means to pardon, which means to forgive, which means not to retaliate in your mind. It means that someone does something nasty to you, and you do not think unkindly of them. You don't hate them. And you do not retaliate. You do not use any system of revenge on them. You don't respond, as it were, jealousy for jealousy, or envy for envy, or hatred for hatred. And you don't get down on the lowest common denominator, whether it's vindictiveness or whatever it happens to be. It means to forgive and to forget. It means having the mind of Christ and forgive as Christ forgave. So what happens is, someone hates you. Someone is jealous of you. And they express it by gossip and maligning. So what do you do in return? See, this is a real practical application. First, you respond to the Lord. Here's what you do when someone attacks you in that way. The first thing you do is respond to the Lord. Never to the person. And that's what the Word of God does when it prospers wherever it goes. That's the application of the Word of God to the situation. We're always asked, I understand the Word of God. I study the Word of God. How do I use it? How do I apply it in my life? This is one of those passages. We all run into circumstances where someone doesn't like us or we're the object of their scorn or whatever it happens to be. Now, what do you do at that time? See, the tendency is to go after the person because they're right in front of you and you see them. So the first thing you do is automatically respond to the Lord, never to the person. And that's the word, prospering where it goes. That's the application of the word to the situation. The second thing is, you love where you hate. You love them when they retaliate. You have a relaxed attitude. And not once in your inner happiness does it skip a beat. Inner happiness never stumbles. It doesn't fall over the rocks of gossip and maligning and vindictiveness. You're totally relaxed toward them. You're not disturbed in any way over them in any circumstance. And that's what this word kasa means here to cover. It means in place of lowering yourself to hate, then to retaliate, you respond and you respond to the Lord. And you relax towards them. And that's what it means to cover here. And it's a PL, stem, which is intensive, which means to do this constantly. And you don't let them get you out of fellowship with the Lord, regardless of what they think or what they do. Don't let anything break your relationship with the Lord. Now, we have a principle found in Peter on this. And the principle was the Lord Jesus Christ when he was on the cross. And Peter wrote this through inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he said this, when Christ was reviled, he reviled not again. He was attacked, he was criticized, he was maligned, he was spit on, he was slapped at. When Christ was reviled, he did not revile again. But he committed it unto the Father, who is the judge of all men. So when it happens to you, don't you retaliate. Don't let them get you on this level. Just commit it unto the Father. So he that covereth a transgression means that a transgression is someone who has something against you. This is a noun, but it's derived from a verb, which means to revolt. It means to apostatize. So it means someone does something against you. You've been wronged by some other believer or unbeliever. Now, what do you do? What procedure do you follow as a born-again believer? How does the word prosper when you're being attacked in a very touchy situation? Well, we'll draw it out for you. This is why we say Proverbs is practical. The first thing you do, you put the matter in the Lord's hands. This is what I mean by responding to the Lord. This is occupation with Christ, not occupation with that person. So the passage would be Psalm 55:22 in the Old Testament. For a New Testament, it would be 1 Peter 5:7. What do you do when someone maligns or does something to you? Cast all your cares on the Lord because he constantly cares for you. That's the principle. That's the first thing you do. Put the matter in the Lord's hands. Commit thy way unto the Lord, and he will direct thy path. Second thing you do when you're being attacked, your responsibility to the person who is jealous of you would be this, Romans 12:19. You do not retaliate. Romans 12:19 says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. Someone attacks you one way or another, mentally, physically, however they do it, just or unjust. Commit it unto the Lord. Put it in the Lord's hands. Secondly, don't retaliate. The Lord will handle it. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. So you have a non-retaliation. That's the second step. What's the third step? The third step involved here is to forgive the person as Christ forgave. Forgive as Christ forgave. Colossians 3:13. Now this is actually the mechanical procedure, taking this verse, covering the transgression. That's how you cover a transgression. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and something happens to you, commit it unto the Lord. Don't get on their level, throw it up here. Second thing is, he knows all about it. He'll take care of it. Vengeance is mine, say the Lord. Three, forgive as Christ forgave and move on. That's the word, prospering, in a very practical application. A transgression in which someone does something against you. You know it. If you don't know it naturally, well, then there's no application necessary. And you know it, and you don't respond to them. But you respond to the Lord. Psalm 55:22, Romans 12:19, Colossians 3:13. Commit it to the Lord, not to them. Don't retaliate. Vengeance is mine, said the Lord. I'll take care of it. Forgive as Christ forgave. That's the divine formula of grace for covering a transgression of someone to you. And this isn't God forgiving a transgression. This is with you, your own attitude in the situation. Now, a person who does this, what happens with that person? Seeketh love. See the Word of God in verse 18. Wherever it goes, it prospers. If you stay in fellowship when you have a situation like that, commit it unto the Lord, vengeance is mine, say the Lord, forgive as Christ forgave, here comes seeking love. And again, we have in seeking love a PL stem. But this time, the PL stem does not mean to seek, but it means to promote love. You promote love in your own mind, and this means to develop a capacity for love, which makes your life wonderful. When people hate you, and people despise you, and people malign you, and people maltreat you and nitpick and everything that is disagreeable in life, you develop a stronger inner happiness, a stronger capacity for life. 1, 2, 3. Committed unto the Lord. Remember, Christ committed unto the Lord. Don't retaliate. He'll retaliate for you. Forgive as Christ forgave, and you're promoting capacity in your life. Capacity for love and life isn't developed with people you love or people who treat you in love. Capacity for love and life is developed by people who hate you as well when you cover their transgressions. How do you cover it? You go to the Lord. Turn it over to Him. Commit it to Him. Non-retaliation is our policy. And then forgive as Christ forgave. That's the formula. And this produces in your mind the capacity for love and life. And you promote, you develop your capacity for love. And when you develop a capacity for love, then you do something else. You refrain from publicizing the sins of those who have sinned against you. And you keep your mouth shut. And you don't complain. And he doesn't do anything in any way to point out in any way that someone has in any way done something to hurt him. Now, in the Old Testament, there's a doctrine called the doctrine of the fifth. That has nothing to do with drinking. The fifth portion. An animal was brought to the priest in the Old Testament. And this lamb, for example, when a man had sinned, then he brought this sacrificial lamb. And this lamb had to cost something. Say it cost $100, a lamb. Well, a fifth of that, if I still remember correctly with the new math and the IRS, would be $20, okay? So he bought a lamb, and he brought the lamb plus $20. And when he gave the lamb to the priest put the lamb on the altar, and cut his throat, and the lamb was dead, and that takes care of the sin. But the priests get down in Leviticus chapter 6. And you follow this same procedure by covering the transgression, which means that you put it in the Lord's hands, which means non-retaliation, which means forgiving as Christ forgave, which means producing and developing and promoting your capacity for love. Then you are the gainer. God gains, as it were, 20 extra dollars besides that sacrificial lamb. This is only used to illustrate the principle when someone wrongs you and you follow this procedure, you're the winner, you're the gainer. That's the doctrine of the fifth. The believer becomes the gainer because the believer of the church age is the believer priest. A gainer, then, is a person who puts the matter in the Lord's hands. And you can't help but win and gain when you put it in the Lord's hands. Secondly, you have a mental attitude of love. No hatred, no jealousy, no envy. No bitterness, no vindictiveness, no implacability. You're a gainer. You don't stoop to the level of the person who has injured you. You refrain from being a troublemaker. You keep the matter quiet. You don't rake it up. And this is the second line of this verse. But he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. So no matter how you look at it, you have developed your capacity for love. You have developed your capacity to give. You have developed your responses towards the Lord. You have developed the thing that counts most in your life as far as a Christian on this earth. And you as a believer, here on this earth, you're in their happiness, your occupation with Christ. There's no way you can lose unless you try to do something about it by your own strength, which is human good, and you take the matter into your own hands and actually take it out of the Lord's hands. And human good then could be anything from retaliation to raking the person over the coals to making a public issue of it. And so we have in the second line this antithetical distich. We have the antithesis. But he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. To repeat a matter here is a Hebrew word to rake up someone's dirty linen, to bring it out, to expose, to wake up things that should be forgotten or should have been put in the Lord's hands. A matter is a word here in context, and the matter in context is to someone who has wronged you. And you go around and you talk about it. And you talk about what they've done unto you. In other words, you're airing someone else's sins or airing someone else's dirty linen or making them public property. By so doing, the believer destroys all his capacity and he becomes, in addition to this, a troublemaker. And the Bible says, separate yourselves from the troublemakers. Separate from troublemakers is found in Romans 16, verses 17 and 18, and Proverbs 6:19. The seventh of the great sins is a troublemaker, and one of the worst sins a believer can commit is to be a troublemaker. And so in verse 9 it says, such a person who rakes the sins of others, those who have wronged him, he separates very friends. Separate means to break off. But it means to break off friends because there's no capacity. And because this person destroys his capacity to give of himself, other people break off from him. I have known, and probably you have too, people who are actually hollow shells because they're petty and they're vindictive and because they habitually practice mental attitude sins. Because they're guilty of the sins of the tongue, gossip, maligning, criticism, slander. And these people, over a period of time, will destroy their own capacity for love. And yet, it isn't a hopeless situation when it comes to the grace of God. While they are, as it were, walking zombies, living in self-induced misery, Yet they can always recover as long as they are alive, but to recover requires restoration back to fellowship by confession of sin and the utilization of the Word of God daily. Now here's the utilization of the Word of God in verse 10. I want you to know the progression of this passage. In verse 8 it says, wherever the Word of God, it prospers. In verse 9 you have an antithetical distich. You have a choice to make. Either pardon that person, put it in the Lord's hands, or else just tell it all over town and you separate a relationship. But here's what the Word of God will do in verse 10. And it says, a reproof. The Hebrew actually says one reproof. Listen carefully now, because it may be talking about all of us. One reproof. One reproof is simply the teaching of the Word of God. And so the Hebrew says one reproof from the Word of God is worth more than stripes. Verse 10, one reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes unto a fool. 100 stripes is learning by discipline. Stripe is discipline. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens. Scourges with a whip every son whom he has received. 100 stripes is learning by discipline. Just think of this. This is dedicated to all of us. We have a choice, individually and collectively. We can learn the Word of God two ways. There are two ways to learn. One, you can learn by listening to the book of Proverbs. You can listen to the communication of the Word. Two, you can reject the teaching of Proverbs, the Word of God, and let God discipline you personally. Now, which is easy? You can learn the easy way, which is the grace way, which is better. Learn the Word of God and avoid these pitfalls or get knots on your head, which is, i.e., here, 100 stripes. One reproof entereth into a wise man. Wise man is a believer. And he is the person who will take the reproof of the Word of God. He is the one who loves the Word. And a wise man is the person who applies the Word. And here's wisdom again, the person who learns and applies the Word of God. And the application is when someone has it in for you, why then you commit it to the Lord. You don't retaliate. You forgive as Christ forgave. And you're seeking love or promoting love. In that way, he disassociates the person with what the person is saying. In that way, he can listen to the content of the message without getting all tied up with the person who even communicates it, knowing that the communicator doesn't know what the individual in the auditorium is about. And so you're simply teaching the Word. And it hurts not because someone knows something about you. It hurts because it's there. It's the Word of God. It's the divine viewpoint. The Lord knows about us. This is the mind of Christ. It's not the man, it's the message. Anyone who communicates the Word of God is going to do it in their own personality. Some are sweet, some have dulcet tones, some have four or five syllables. Some just do, some are that way, and some are that way. But there are people who intrude upon privacy and teach the Word and tell you things about yourself and do not build you up. And you resent it. One of the occupational hazards is that you get all tangled up with a person who presents the truth. In fact, sometimes a person who communicates the Word becomes an scapegoat. And you lose the reproof. And you walk out and you get 100 stripes. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for reproof, instruction, correction into righteousness. Reproof. Instruction, correction, and righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You cannot grow, and you cannot be furnished unto all good works unless there's some reproof from the Word. Now, sometimes it's very difficult to take these things, but this verse says it's much easier to do it than to go out and get 100 stripes. Remember, the verse says, The reproof is only good for the wise. Who is the wise? Let's take a look at the mind of a believer who's wise and the mind of a believer who's depicted as a fool. In the soul of the wise, his human spirit has a word, and because he has the word of God, he'll open up and take this word of reproof and actually does something with it. The fool is a believer. His human spirit does not contain the word of God. There's no divine viewpoint. There's only human viewpoint in there. And he has all the prejudices and the problems of human life, and he hears the reproof of the word of God, which is the mind of Christ, which he does not personally have. He goes negative in his attitude, and he throws up a strong negative signal, and he resists the reproof of the word, and he goes out and gets clobbered, this verse says, 100 times. One reproof from the word versus 1,000 stripes. Now, there are some people who can only learn the hard way. Verse 10 says, one reproof entered into a wise man more. Reproof entering in. For reproof to penetrate, you have to have the word of God. When you have the word, then the word becomes the word of reproof and says, come in. I need you. I'm looking for you. This is the word teaching the word. See, you have the word inside of you. And then you hear a principle, and the word teaches the word, and they're compatible. But a person who is minus the word has only human viewpoint, and he says to the word of God, as it's taught, get out of here. I'll do it myself. And that results in 100 stripes. So if you don't get it on the inside, you're going to get it on the outside. See, that's the point. Now, how would you like to look? Standing there with 100 knots on your head? Or having inner happiness? Along with love and joy and peace and all those wonderful things that God has provided. Verse 10, the fool, the one who rejects the word of God. Verse 10, the wise, the one who accepts the word of God and applies the word of God. He wants the reproof, and it penetrates into the wise man more than 100 stripes unto a fool. A fool is a believer, minus the word of God. So, take your choice. You have free will. You can have it the right way. You can have wonderful things in your life. You can learn to appreciate God as the giver. You can develop a capacity for life and love. Or you can go out and get into the rat race and collect knots in your head or hot on your head. And it's up to you which way you go. So, you know, we talk about Christmas on the 25th, but every day is. Every time you're exposed to the teaching of the Word of God, or you have an opportunity, you have a choice to make. Are you going to take the reproof of the Word, as it were, and profit by that one reproof, or are you going to say no and get 1,000 knots in your head? Well, our time is up. We want to close our service this morning with having a communion service, because the first Sunday in the month, so we'll give you an opportunity, as we invite our young people in, to have a word of prayer and prepare ourselves for the communion service.